I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, an update from Vietnam after that president's historic visit. But first, on this program, we like to bring you conversations with newsmakers from time to time. Today, Naomi Churchill Earp, the chair of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. She's only the second African-American woman to head the EEOC, the first since the late 1970s. The EEOC is the agency that takes on discrimination in the workplace. Naomi Earp joins us in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
Why did you want to do this job?
I honestly feel called. Civil rights as a mission, as a career, it's something that I feel in my heart. And it's a calling.
And how did you discover this calling? I know that you're an attorney, which should seem to be handy in this job. But do you remember what it is that stimulated it?
It was somewhat serendipity, I think. My undergraduate work is in social work. So I knew at a very early age I wanted to be in a career that helped others. It grew, though, from being so close to the problems in social work that I thought law would give me some distance. And civil rights was just a very, very close career to being a social worker.
Now, the EEOC, as I said, is the agency that takes on discrimination in the workplace. I'd like to ask you, have you ever felt that you were discriminated against at work?
I'm 57 years old. And I would say yes. But the interesting thing is I never know if the feeling was because I'm female or because I'm black. Coming of age in the late 60s and the early 70s, I was often the only black and sometimes the only woman in my various jobs. So yes, there was always a feeling of, do they really want me here?
What is the biggest source of complaints before the EEOC?
The single largest category are allegations of race discrimination. That's followed very closely by allegations of reprisal for filing a discrimination charge.
Does one ethnic group account for the lion's share of complaints, or are they evenly distributed?
By far, blacks complain more than other groups.
File complaints more than other groups. The agency filed a complaint just this week, and the plaintiff was an Iranian Muslim. The agency filed suit against Merrill Lynch, the brokerage house, and it said that he had been discriminated against, I think in part because of national origin. Is that an important source of complaints these days as well?
Since September 11th, complaints based on religion, national origin, and color have both been trending upward.
Your first initiative when you were appointed last March was something called E-Race, Eradicating Racism and Colorism from the Workplace. Now, I'm sure most people know what racism is, but I'm not sure everybody knows what colorism is. So what is that?
Color is pretty intuitive. It has to do with pigment. It has to do with shade. As America has become more diverse, the number of color charges have increased. There are Asians as well as Hispanics as well as African Americans who are rainbow within their various nationalities.
In fact, the agency's own information says that from 1992 to 2006, the number of complaints alleging color-based discrimination rose from 374 to more than 1,200 in fiscal year 2006. And was that generally the pattern, that persons who were darker-skinned alleged that they had been disadvantaged?
Absolutely. And we expect those numbers to continue to increase. There are instances of Hispanics. If you're brown, you work in the kitchen. If you're lighter, more Spaniard-looking, you work in the front of the restaurant or the store. So we expect to see more of that as America becomes increasingly more diverse.
Now, I understand, as we discussed, that there are over 1,000 of these complaints just based on skin color prejudice alone. But are any of them within the same group alleging skin color prejudice?
Yes. A couple of years ago, EEOC filed suit against a restaurant where a dark-skinned employee was being intimidated, harassed by a lighter-skinned manager, black.
Wow. I'm speaking with Naomi Earp, chair of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, here in the studio. I noticed that immediately after you were appointed and after you launched the E-Race initiative, you filed a class action suit against Walgreens, accusing the drugstore chain of discriminating against African Americans for assignments and promotions. And, of course, Walgreens denies the charges. The reason I was interested in this is that in recent years it has been assumed that conservatives in general, Republicans, have been more skeptical of the class action approach, preferring to address issues of discrimination are sort of on a case-by-case basis. And I just wonder, I don't know if you're a Republican, are you?
I am.
And I just wondered, is that a false impression?
There have been different times in history where Republicans use the class action approach less frequently than at other times. The early 80s is a time when EEOC did almost no disparate impact cases. My view is we need to be nimble and responsive to the times. We're an agency that is not exactly flush with resources, and discrimination itself has become more subtle, more difficult to ferret out. So I am all for using every tool at our disposal, and that includes systemic cases, high impact cases, class cases.
And when you talked about sort of being nimble for the times, this is a case I wanted to talk to you about. The EEOC is not a party to the case. It's about the Bank of America. Bank of America is, I believe, the second largest bank in the country. It's a private lawsuit, but a number of African-American employees have sued Bank of America, saying that they were steered to working mainly with black clients. The reason I ask is that the employees who sued said that they were told that black customers prefer to deal with black professionals, and that's why they were steered toward these cases. I just wondered, how common is that now for people to claim customer preference?
The question of customer service has been around since Jim Crow days, practically, but it seems to be reemerging. I think that it's a very difficult time for employers who want to be responsive to their base. They want to be responsive to two decades of having diversity programs, but the law essentially says customer preference is unlawful. I would encourage an employer who has some sense of trying to respond to customers to make very, very sure that it is a case-by-case situation, that they get legal advice, and that the employees being assigned specifically because of a customer request want to do that, as opposed to just blanketly being steered to either a market area or to a customer base.
One thing that I wondered if you've ever thought about, some people would argue that because, you know, in a way we're hypersensitive, that some people would argue that because there's been so much awareness about diversity and in the workforce, I know you've worked to enhance diversity, it's been part of your career. Do you think that some would make the argument that minorities are too quick to complain about discrimination, when in fact what the real issue is people just aren't that used to being around people who are different than them? Do you have an opinion about that?
I think to some extent we are too quick to see racism, but it doesn't come without a foundation. There is so much trust that is missing in different parts of the community. I'm always struck when I travel through the South by how genteel and polite everyone is. And blacks and whites seem to have a solid understanding of each other. You go to a restaurant, they can complete each other's sentences, but they leave the restaurant and they go in completely different directions. It's my view that probably the most honest dialogue about race takes place below the Mason-Dixon line, and it almost never takes place in the workplace. Everyone is hypersensitive there, and everyone is afraid of being accused of bigotry of some sort. I think that it's totally nonproductive that going into the 21st century, that black people, white people, brown people, white people in the workplace can't be honest and say, when you mentioned something about immigration, or when you mentioned something about big lips or kinky hair, it raised an issue for me. Can we talk about it? There's no honesty. Therefore, there's no trust.
You think that we would do well to have more honest discussion about race and difference in the workplace, or ethnicity and difference in the workplace?
I do. And I think that the hope for our children, for this next generation, is that they will be more open and more honest, especially the generation that was born after the civil rights movement.
I think many people would want to have those conversations, but I think that there's a feeling that perhaps it creates tension in the workplace and it's best that everybody just focus on task. But what do you think?
My view is, if it doesn't happen at work, where? It doesn't happen in our churches. Religion in America is very, very segregated. It often doesn't happen in our neighborhoods. It's not going to happen at home. Work is where we spend the majority of time. Work is where most of us are the most heavily invested. And other than love relationships with family, we have our strongest ties to coworkers and peers in the workplace. My view is, if we can't develop some openness and honesty there, I'm not sure where it can take place.
Do you ever envision a time when your agency won't be needed?
No.
Really?
No, because I think the human heart is such that it will always find a way to hurt another human being. And the most obvious are race and gender, those things. So I think there will always be a need for the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
Well, come back and see us.
I will. Thank you.
Naomi Churchill Erb is the chair of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. She was kind enough to join us here in our studio in Washington. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.